We are in book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Start from verse 1.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain.
As we learn from the book of 1 Corinthians, this church was founded by Paul. And now he's trying to say, I came to you, I preached the word of God, and you received it. And if you do not stand what you learn, then my coming to you is in vain. That means, if you heard the gospel and you are not bringing the fruits, or you heard the salvation message and you are not yet saved, then whoever preached to you the message of salvation, that doesn't mean anything. And the words too, please read.
By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain.
Now whatever I preach to you, he says, keep in your memory. Do not forget what you learned. Otherwise, whatever you believed is in vain. What does it mean? That means, if you do not understand anything and if you don't learn anything, then what you're believing in? You don't believe anything what I said. That's what St. Paul is saying. So that when message comes to us, we should believe it, we should receive it, we should keep in our mind, and we should act upon it. That means produce the fruit of salvation or the message we learn. Verse 3.
For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
I deliver you the message of salvation, or message of God. How? Because I received first. If I am not born again child of God, I cannot preach the gospel of salvation. There are people preaching the gospel of salvation and they are not even saved. Yesterday I met one man. He said, I'm going to Bible school, but he is like a Methodist or Presbyterian going to full gospel college. And so I asked him, what is your future? Well, what I'm going to do, I might get ordained and I'll work with somebody and then I'll start my church. I said, sir, you are not baptized properly. You did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. And you are thinking about getting ordination. First, going to Bible school is nothing unless you have the solid foundation on Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm trying to say? People can go to full gospel college or Bible school and get the diploma, what school you went, such and such a school. So people think, oh, that person is full gospel. Other day I saw a man's name, Wal Robert University he came from. Wal Robert University is supposed to be a full gospel university. The man comes from there and started a Baptist church. So point I'm making, St. Paul is saying, whatever I received from the Lord, I gave it to you. And what he says, I gave you everything according to the Scriptures. So he studied the Scriptures about Jesus Christ, and he says, whatever I preach to you, I preach to you according to the Word of God. Now, when you say Christ died for us according to the Scriptures, that means his death was foretold. Not a single book in the world, Hindu book, Buddha's book, Muslim book, or any other religious book, will not tell you about their prophet or their God, when he was going to be born and how he is going to die and is he going to raise again. There is no record of their prophets or their gods in the book. But here he says it was recorded in the word. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Start reading from verse 4 and 5 and 8 to 10.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
This is the record of Jesus Christ before he was even crucified. And when Jesus Christ was risen, he was saying, it is recorded. Let's read Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27.
And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
See, Jesus Christ also said, before I came to this world and before I died and before I rose again, these things were recorded. Moses said it, Psalmist said it, prophet said it. So he is saying everything was recorded before Jesus Christ came into this world, and everything was fulfilled according to what was prophesied. So this was not an accident that he was rose again. This was prophesied and it is fulfilled. So the Paul is saying, what I believe, I searched the scriptures, I found out Jesus is the true Messiah, true Savior, true God, and that's what the message I brought to you. And if you don't believe it, it will be useless. But he is trying to say, I'm trying to tell you, Jesus Christ is risen according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4.
And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
We already saw the proof that Jesus Christ gave, the proof that he is risen. But he says, this also was said, he will be buried, he will be rise again according to the scriptures. And you can see, book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 25 to 32.
For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope.
Okay, when somebody reads this in the Old Testament, they're going to say that David is saying this. But when you read a little bit further, David was not saying for himself, he was prophesying about Christ.
Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
When you say Holy One to see corruption, Holy One is only one, that is Jesus Christ. It's called Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, our Holy One is the Anointed One, Jesus Christ.
Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses.
So now when the disciples of Jesus Christ, when they start searching the scriptures, they came to know. David wrote this, but it was not for David. This was for Christ. He was buried and he is risen and he is alive today. And we are witnesses. I am so surprised that other religious people, they have no solid proof about their gods or their leaders, and they give life for their leaders. If somebody says any one word against their leader, they will come and kill you. But we have a good solid proof that Jesus Christ is alive today. And how many people are going and telling and witnessing to other people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? I feel sometimes, what's wrong with the people? Why they cannot go and testify and tell somebody, my God is greater than any other God. Jesus Christ is the only one gives eternal life. Why? Because he's alive. Amen. He is the one conquer the death. He is the one, is the great God. We should not be ashamed telling this to the world. St. Peter and St. Paul, they are testifying and telling others. They are not afraid of other people killing them or destroying them. You remember Peter was afraid when Jesus Christ was captured and they were taking him to prison. Peter was afraid that somebody will kill him. So he denied Jesus 3 times. Saint Peter, after the day of Pentecost, boldly telling others, we are the witnesses. Jesus Christ is alive today. So our scriptures or our gospel is not the ordinary gospels. Gospel of Jesus Christ is so powerful, it gives life to people. We should not be keeping silent. We should not be keeping our mouth shut. We should not be saying it's not our job to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Let anybody do according to their religion. We don't want to interfere telling them about Jesus. If you do not tell them, their blood will be upon you. The gospel is not hidden. Gospel should be proclaimed what? From the mountaintop. It is our duty. So we should be taking very seriously telling others about Jesus Christ. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5.
And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto us this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time.
Now here Paul is giving the proof that Jesus Christ is alive. Cephas means Peter. He says, Jesus Christ revealed himself after he came from the grave, and Peter saw him first. And then he says, James saw him. Then he says, there are 500 men, he didn't say the word woman, 500 men, brethren, saw him. And then he said, I was the least of the all apostles, and I saw him. And somebody said, did he forget about the Mary Magdalene, and all of the ladies saw him first, and he forgot all about those people. He did not forget. You know why he's saying? Because in those days, they did not care about the lady's testimony. Whatever they say, they will ignore it. So he's trying to say, let me tell you the main people who saw Jesus. Peter saw it, James saw it, other apostles saw it, and I am the least of it, and I saw it. So we are the witnesses that Jesus Christ is alive. And there are so many other people saw it, but he is giving main people's name. Doesn't mean he is ignoring other people. Okay, verse 10.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Now he's saying, I'm the least of all apostles, but he says, whatever God has given me is not simple thing. It's a great blessing He has given to me. So he said, I worked hard what God has given to me, and I preached the gospel to everyone, because he said, I'm least one, I'm nobody. But he says, I know who I am. What is the special thing what he's saying I am? Because I am the follower of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing that Paul ever got it. He said, because of Christ, all other things I consider as a trash or a dung. He gave up everything for the sake of Christ, and he followed Christ. And so he's saying, even though I did all this hard work and working day and night for Jesus Christ, but he says, only thing I'm doing this by the grace of God. I cannot do anything my own. I just depend on God. And whatever I'm doing for the glory of God. He is not boasting that I am doing this. You cannot do anything without God. That's why Jesus Christ said, my grace is what?
Sufficient
for you. He said, I did everything by the grace of God. Not with my own power, not with my own strength or own wisdom. Everything He gave it to me, and I'm doing it for the glory of God. Okay, verse 11.
Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe.
So he's trying to say, I am not comparing myself with the Peter and John and James and all other apostles. They did their job. I labored more and hard work and everything I did. But doesn't matter who preached the gospel. They did or I did. Important thing is, did you believe it? Doesn't matter, gospel can come from anyone. But Jesus is the same. We are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is more important than any other story you hear. People can give all kinds of exciting stories when they preach. But if they don't preach about Jesus Christ, if they don't preach about salvation and God's plan for you, their preaching is in vain. He says, important thing is what I preach, you should believe what I'm saying. Verse 12.
Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?
He says, we preached about Jesus Christ, and what is the preaching about Christ? If you preach about Christ and don't preach about the resurrection, then Jesus Christ became like all other religious people. The important thing is Jesus Christ is risen. That's the greatest message for the world. He says, Jesus Christ is rose again. That is the message to the world. If you heard this gospel of resurrection and you don't believe that Jesus Christ is risen, gospel is nothing without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he says, now if the Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of dead? That means if the Christ is not risen, then there won't be no resurrection. So if people start saying there is no resurrection, what the message for the Christian people is? We are not ordinary people. We believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died for me. He was buried and he rose again. And he is a living God. That's the message, and that's what we have to believe. Verse 13.
But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?
Okay. Somebody takes this scripture, forget about all the scripture, and somebody says, okay, St. Paul was saying, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And somebody says, oh, I heard Paul says Christ is not risen. He is not saying that. He is saying, if you do not have that hope, If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the first one, he is called the first fruit of the resurrection. What does it mean? He is the only one rise from the dead and never died again. And so if somebody doesn't believe that, then they have no hope of resurrection. Okay, verse 14.
And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain.
If the Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. What he is trying to say? Important thing is, Christ is alive. Christ gives life. And he is a life giver, and he is alive today. If somebody is not preaching that, and somebody is not believing that, then what faith we have? If you put faith in something else, which is not Christ, then there is no life. Life is in Jesus Christ. So we have to believe that Jesus Christ is alive, then your faith has some value. You said, I don't believe Jesus Christ is risen. I don't believe that Jesus Christ was born into this world, and you still claim yourself Christians. That is not a Christianity. He says your faith is useless. Verse 15.
Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we are testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
Paul again saying, if we are preaching since the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ is risen, all the apostles witness about Jesus' resurrection. And he says, I am preaching also. And we are testifying that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And if you people don't believe it, then there is no message. We cannot tell anybody. We will be liars. We will be deceivers if Jesus Christ is not risen. But we know that Jesus is risen. We are not a liar. We are telling the truth. Okay, verse 16.
For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised.
Now, here's a simple thing he's trying to say. This is for the future. If somebody has a hope that I'm going to rise again, or my family will be rise again, and if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is risen, then means they're not going to rise. Is everything depend on Christ? If Christ is risen, then those people will rise. Otherwise, they will not rise. Verse 17.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins.
This very strong word he is using for the Christians. If Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. What is this trying to say? If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is risen, and you believe that you are Christian, that your Christianity is useless. I had a neighbor, I told you many times, and he used to go to church every Sunday. And one day he said, you know, I believe Jesus Christ came into this world, but I don't believe that he was risen. And this kind of teaching is going around. So if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then he says your faith is in vain. Why did you believe in Jesus Christ in the first place? Like I said the other day, one Catholic priest went to pray for somebody. That person was dying, and that person was Catholic. And so I stood until he comes out, and I asked him a question. I said, what is the message for that lady you went and what did you tell her? Did you tell her that Jesus Christ is a living God and you should ask forgiveness and you should believe Jesus Christ, then you will go to heaven? He said, I don't have to tell her that. I said, why not? Everybody is going to go to heaven. Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, everybody will go to heaven. I feel so sorry about this person. 12 years of Bible college he went, and he doesn't know why we should tell somebody about Jesus Christ. They have no message. Other day I was ministering to one person, and he was Catholic. He went to Catholic college, And he went 6 years in that college. And he said, I had a faith in Jesus Christ, but when I went to Catholic school to be a priest, I lost Christ. I lost faith in God. And I was completely like an unsaved person. Didn't know what I was doing. I was good until I went to college. And when I came out of the college, I lost Christ. I lost hope. I lost Christianity. And I thought, there's nothing good about Christianity. What I'm trying to say, if somebody doesn't have a message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is risen, then their faith is in vain and they are still in sin. Means they have to repent of their sins, believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they will be saved. Otherwise, there is no salvation. Go to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says very clearly, if you want to be saved, what you're supposed to do.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
See, here it says, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have to confess with your mouth. What do you confess? That Jesus came from heaven, he died for me, he was buried, and he's risen today. I believe in my heart, and I'm telling you that Jesus is my Lord. Once you believe that, then the salvation comes. If somebody doesn't believe Jesus Christ is risen and he is his God, that person will never get saved. So that's why St. Paul is saying, if the Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain and you are yet in your sins. So that means going to church, going to Bible college, learning 10 years, 12 years, coming out of the college and do not know who Jesus Christ is. And why should I preach about Jesus Christ? It's a shameful. I asked that man, what did you learn 6 years on this? Oh, I learned Catholic history and the church history and this and that, and didn't learn anything about salvation and how to preach the message of salvation. So it's very important what we're learning about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18.
And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished.
He's trying to tell the people, they also, who he's talking about? They also means he's talking about the people who died. And they died in Christ, means they believe in Jesus Christ, and they died in Christ, and if they don't believe in resurrection, then they are all perished. Means there is no hope for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, if you read, it says, dead in Christ will rise first. So the Christian people who believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have hope they will rise again. But if you are not dying in Christ, you are not going to rise in Christ. Verse 19.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
What he's trying to say, if somebody says, oh, Christianity is a wonderful thing, go to church, have a fun, have a music, have Christian dramas, or Christian messages and everything, and enjoy the life, and I don't believe in death, I don't believe in resurrection, whatever I have in this world, enjoy. Christian life is life of prosperity and life of this and life of that, but I don't believe that someday I'll die and rise again, then we are miserable. We are just looking for this, the life only. There are people say, enjoy the life. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Just enjoy. And some people say, let me enjoy my life. What they're saying, their eyes on their worldly stuff. They don't look for the eternal life. So he said, if somebody is thinking, I'm not going to raise, I'm not going to go to heaven, then we are so miserable. We are looking at the worldly stuff, and we will be living miserable life. Okay, verse 20.
But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Now is Christ risen from the dead, and became the firstfruit of them that asleep. Means Jesus Christ, the first one, came out of the grave, defeated the death, and he rose again. He became the first fruit. No one ever died and rose again and lived forever. Jesus is the only one. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18 says,
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Now Jesus Christ is giving his own testimony. He's not saying I was not dead. He said I was dead. But now I am alive forevermore. Not a single prophet, not a single founder of any religion could say this, like Jesus says. He said, I was dead. He is not ashamed to say, I was dead. If he didn't die for you, then the death will be hanging on you forever. Jesus died and he destroyed the death and he conquered the death. And now he says, I am alive forevermore. So once you have that kind of hope, then whoever dies in Jesus Christ, they will have the same hope. Then he says in verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. First man, Adam, when he disobeyed God and he ate the forbidden fruit, what God said, the day you will eat this fruit, you will surely die. But the devil said, no, no, you're not going to surely die. You will be just like God. So he listened to the devil and he disobeyed God. And the same day he ate the fruit, he died. The spiritual death came first and physical death started the same day and he died. So he said the death came by one man, first man. The same way when Jesus Christ came into this world, he was also tested. Just like Adam was tested. Jesus Christ was tested, and if you read in Matthew chapter 4, he passed the test. And he defeated the devil on the cross. And he came victoriously. So he says, now the first Adam brought the death into this world. The second man, Jesus Christ, brought the resurrection into this world. So he is saying very plainly, in Adam, everyone going to die. There is not a single man could say, I'm not going to die. There are some people, Russian people, they preserve their leaders. When I went to Russia, they are preserved and people come and see them. What is use? They can keep them for 1,000 years, but there is no life. Only time they will be raised from there for the judgment day. But here says, any person who is born into this world, that person is surely going to die. You don't have to do anything to die. But if you want to have everlasting life, you need Christ. Amen. You remember one man came to me and says, what should I do to go to hell? I said, sir, nobody asked me that question. But it's very simple. Whatever you're doing right now, you are going to go to hell. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Whatever you're doing, you will go to hell. But if you want to go to heaven, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who took your death penalty on the cross. That's the message we have. Verse 23.
Let every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming.
Every person is going to die. When Jesus Christ comes, dead in Christ will first rise, and afterwards the people who are alive will be transformed. So it will be going in order. Okay. Verse 24.
Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
What's going to happen in eternity? It's a kingdom is like a threefold. First, Jesus Christ came and he said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. First, he brought the message of kingdom of God to the mankind. And many people, he said, you are not too far from the kingdom of God. You are so close to the kingdom of God. When we receive the kingdom of God, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Christ rules in our heart. So the kingdom of God starts in your heart first. If the Christ is not a king in your life, you are not in the kingdom of God. You are still miserable. So the first thing you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because the devil is right now the king in your heart. He is ruling you. Once Jesus Christ comes in, you have to push that devil out of your heart. Because he is the taking throne in your heart and he is ruling you. Once you receive Jesus Christ, the kingdom of darkness is out and now you are in the kingdom of Christ. Let's read that Colossians chapter 1. Start reading from verse 12.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
So what God has done, he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom of devil, and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That kingdom is called the kingdom of light. There is no darkness in there. If you believe that you are a Christian and there is a darkness in your heart and the devil is ruling your heart, you are not in the kingdom of God. You can say 10,000 times I'm a Christian. It doesn't work that way. You have to be translated from the kingdom of darkness and bring it to the kingdom of God or kingdom of his dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. That is the transformation has to happen. Otherwise, we will be still miserable, calling ourselves Christian, and the devil is ruling your life. Let's come back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now read the verse 24 and 25 and 26. Now it makes sense.
Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Some of the things are already done. Only the verse 26 is not finished. But God has already put all the things under his control. And he says, he must reign till hath put all enemies under his feet. Go to the Ephesians. Look at it in the chapter 1, last couple of verses.
And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
Now this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he hath put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus Christ. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And he put everything under his feet. Whose feet? The church feet. If the Jesus Christ is your head and you are the body of Christ, then all the demonic things is under your feet. It's already done. The believer should not allow devil to rule over their head. The devil should be where? Under your feet. That's what he's saying. God has already done it. Devil is defeated. He should not be ruling your life. You should be ruling over him. He should be under your feet. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, the God of this world, Now God of this world means this world has a God. And that God is a devil. But he is not our God. He is the God of this world. When we were in this world, that devil was our God. Once we receive Jesus Christ, he is not our God. Okay, please read.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Now, see what he's trying to say. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. What does it mean? If you are an unbeliever, if you don't believe Jesus Christ, your God is devil. That's what he's trying to say. What the devil is doing, he is blinding the minds of unbelievers so they should not know who Jesus is. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is God himself. The devil is saying, don't believe that. And if you reject Christ, that means you allowing devil to rule your life. He says he cannot make us blind. He cannot deceive us because he is not our God. This is the devil is the God of this world. He's not my God. My God is Jesus Christ. And so my kingdom is not the kingdom of darkness. My kingdom is the kingdom of light. And now we are transformed from the devilish kingdom to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So we are his children. Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now verse 26 now.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Now the last enemy. Death is the enemy. Is the devil brings death. How do you know? He says, John chapter 10 verse 10. Enemy kills. Killing is a death, isn't it? He kills, he destroys. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. That the devil is the destroyer. He is the killer. But he cannot kill us anymore. Why? Because we have eternal life. Death is passed over. If Jesus Christ doesn't come 100 years from now, I might die. But I will live for eternity. If Jesus Christ comes today, I don't have to die at all. Because he has taken my death away. Now, this death will be reigning until Jesus Christ comes. Means the death is called separation from God. Christians do not die, they just sleep. And Jesus comes and wakes them up. So, if the person who is a sinner, that person dies. But the Christian sleeps. But he says the last enemy is death will be destroyed. Do you know when? In the millennium, sinners will die 100 years old. There won't be any abortions or aborted baby or fetus will die in mother's womb. It will not happen in 1,000 years reign. Even the young child, he says, will die 100 years old. So that means they have the life at least 100 years. But for the believers, they will not die in the millennium. You understand? But after the millennium is over, then the death, who is the enemy, who is the devil, will be destroyed. And so in heaven, there is no death. The death will be finished after the millennium. When the devil will be cast out in hell, where the lake of fire is, then there won't be any death anymore. So that's what he says, enemy will be destroyed who brings the death. Verse 27.
For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
The Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody finds, they said, see, he has no power, and whatever the power limited is given to him, when this everything is finished, then God will be supreme, and Jesus will be under his control, and everything he will be handed over to the Father. But that is not the meaning comes in here. He says Jesus Christ came with a mission. What was his mission? Jesus Christ came, died on the cross of Calvary, so you and me can be just like him. Who is Jesus? He is God. So we will be just like God. Let's read this 1 John chapter 3 and first three verses.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
See, this is the love of God. We were sinners, but now because of Jesus, we are called the children of God.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
So, he says, if you are a child of God, and if you believe in that Jesus Christ is coming, if he will come, we will see him as he is, and we will be also transformed like him. Amen. That is the hope for the believers. So it didn't happen yet, but it's going to happen. When Jesus Christ comes, he is going to transform us and we'll be in his kingdom. And when the kingdom finishes, we will be with him in eternity. So we will be just like Jesus Christ. We will have a power, wisdom and grace. We will know everything. Go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 28.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
And that's the time we will understand what the God is all about. Jesus Christ came here to reveal God. And St. John chapter 1 verse 18, he says, no one knew who God was, but the Jesus Christ who was in the bosom of his Father, he revealed us who God is. So now, he says, we do not understand everything about God, but what's going to happen when we go to heaven, we will know everything plainly. St. Paul says, we know only partially, but we will know everything clearly. Now we see Jesus Christ like a man who ate the bread, they killed him, they crucified him, they think he's just the ordinary person. But he says in eternity, you will see he will be just like God, like a God and him be one. He says he will be immersed in God. That means there won't be any difference who God is and who Christ is. They will be one God. Up to now we don't know how Trinity works. You will know in eternity. And God may be all in all. That means, now when you see Jesus, we see God. So when you see Christ, you see God. And when you see Holy Spirit, you see God. That means Trinity will be revealed there openly. Right now we don't know how the Trinity works. But in heaven, you will know. Because there you will not have distinction. Oh, this is Christ. He is the Son. God might be greater than him, and the Holy Spirit is under them. It's not like that. You will see one God and everything equal. There will be no partition. There will be no divisions. Our God is triune God, but we cannot understand without this brain and these eyes. The Stephen was stoned to death, and what did he say? I see heaven open, and what? I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. So he could see the Father, he could see the Son, and the Holy Spirit he was filled with. So there is a Trinity. Everything will be revealed when you go to heaven. Okay, shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. And you have given us this message of salvation, grace and hope for the whole world. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and saving me. Bless each and everyone who is sitting and standing. and let them take this message of salvation to the whole world. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.